Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us, we have Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to continue talking to him about this bank robbery that took place today in Southern California and that eventually led police on a chase into Southern California. Part of this story has to do with the fact that the robbers threw money out of the window, and they threw money out of the escape vehicle, and eventually this money found its way, obviously, onto the street and into the hands of people who, I think, very naturally, Jay, are going to want to go out and get some of the money.
Well, you know, Phil, it's an interesting story. If you say, well, people won't get the money, I think that I expect a little bit more from citizens than that. I think I expect more from people than to run out in the street and grab money.
But it's money that's just flying out of a truck. Don't you think that that would be an instinct that you would have?
Well, if you say it's an instinct that I would have, certainly not, no.
You wouldn't run out there and try and grab some of that money?
No way. There's no way I would run out and try and grab some of that money and look like a fool. And what should have been done, if the Southern California Sheriff Station, or the LA County Sheriff, was doing its job properly, and it's one of the reasons why Citizens Auxiliary Police was formed. Citizens Auxiliary Police was formed because we saw police doing things not exactly the way what it ought to be done. And we wanted to ensure that police work was at a very high level of credibility and a very high level of credulity, and we wanted to...
A high level of credulity.
Yeah, that's right. And we wanted to ensure that. So what I said today when I saw that, and I said it to Margo Jensen, and who's Todd Jensen's wife, and whoever's watching TV, Major Newton was there, and Major Newton was shocked, and that's why he said that we need to get down there, and we immediately need to at least start checking people for the money, you know. So I can't go up to the sheriff. And
did you guys go down to Los Angeles today and start checking people for any money that they might have picked up off the street?
Yes, we did. We had to do it in a way that was going to be, was going to be commensurate with the law. So any individual in that area that seemed to look like they had, what's the old saying, they looked like the cat that swallowed a canary. If they had kind of a smile on their face, like they know something I don't do, that I don't do, or they do something I don't know, or I forget how it goes.
They know something that you don't know.
That's correct, sir. That's when we stopped them and said, how are you doing?
See, this comes into a thing, and we're talking with Jay Santos about money being thrown from a passing truck that was involved in a bank robbery. How do you get the money back from people that have picked it up off the street? And you say that you, first of all, notice anyone that looks like they're hiding something. What does someone who looks like they're hiding something look like?
Hold on. Where is that? Is that downtown? Is that downtown? I gotta roll. I might have to roll, Phil, on a downtown call.
Yeah, okay. Does that mean the...
Well, we could take you with us, but... I'm sorry, Phil. Would you ask a question again?
My question is, you said that you went down to L.A. today and you saw people who looked like they might be hiding something. Those are people that you think might have taken money off of the street from this bank robbery. What does someone who looks like they're hiding something look like?
Well, I think they have a... Well, you know what they look like. I think your audience listening tonight on a radio probably understand. They have a look on their face like a cat that's smaller than a canary. It's a look of... You know, man, I got it over on you, or I'm hiding something, or, you know, I got something stashed down, you know, I got something stashed down deep, and you don't know about it, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so in other words, it's just a look on a face.
That is correct, sir, yeah.
Okay, and so now, going by the look on the face, do you stop these people?
Yes, we do.
And how do you do that?
Well, we can say something, and we try to be as convivial as we can. We try to be as friendly as we can. We'll just say something like to them, how to do, you know, how do you do, or some sort of a phrase. Hold on. Can you turn that alarm off, Jerry? Turn the alarm off. I'm sorry, Phil.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the alarm in the back door. We'll say to them, how do you do, and, you know, are you coming from the area of that bank robbery where they was throwing the money. You know, did you pick up any of that money? Because if you did pick up any of that money, it makes you technically, complicit in the robbing of that bank, which we know that you are not, and we know that you, you know, you don't want to do that, or you know, you wouldn't want to not do that, or however. And so, would you please give us the money back? And if they give you the story, and a lot of them will give you the story, I don't know what you're talking about, this kind of thing.
And what if they're telling the truth?
If they're telling the truth about what?
If they're telling, when they say to you, well, I don't know what you're talking about, what if they're telling the truth?
How could you be telling the truth when it's on are you kidding? It was all on the TV. If you've seen it on the TV, it was right on the TV right there.
What if they weren't watching the TV? What if they were walking down?
Well, Phil, I don't deal with hypotheticals, what if, what if, what if. I mean, I've got to go on assumption that a bank robbery's taken place, that a great deal of money had been taken, and that it's been thrown out a window, and these people are walking down the street looking to scarf it up and make little cheese on the side. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I understand human nature and everything, but still in all, you have to give it up. So I'll say to them, you know, is that how we're going to play it? And they'll say, oh, wow, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, you want to play it that way, we'll play it that way. If you want to play it another way, we'll play it another way. You know, we play any way you want to play it. Okay?
All right, well, all of those nice things that police officers often say, we'll play it that way. And
well, what do you mean often say?
Because I've heard police officers say that. It's, you know, it's their way of saying, look, you know, all I want you to do is tell me the truth.
That is correct, yeah.
All right. So that having been said, what if they still deny having picked up any of the money?
Well, and that's when we say to them, we want to effect a citizen's arrest on you, which means we can't really put you in handcuffs. We have to wait for another police officer to come and effectuate that. So we would like to just have a conversation with you. So see, that way they can't say that we're holding them. They can't say we're detaining them. And so we'll ask them, you know, oh, that's a nice purse. Where'd you get that purse? To get them into a conversation. At that time, I'll say, oh, can I look at your purse? Yeah. Well, or they may say no. I'll say, well, why not? I'm just having a conversation, and that's when I'll grab it and look in it. And if I see any of them...
So right there is where I think you have committed a crime.
Well, no, wait. Phil, what do you mean?
Because I've been waiting here listening to you to find out how it is you detain people when you're not officially a police officer, and you just told me right there.
No. No, I did not tell you anything other than we're having a conversation.
When you grabbed the purse...
I didn't grab the purse. I said, that's a nice purse. Where'd you get it? I'm thinking about getting one for my wife. Is that Mexico? Did you get Mexico? And they'll say no. I said, well, can I just hear it? Let me just see the tag. So it's not really taking it from them. It's just saying, oh, wow, I just want to see the tag where it's made. And that's when you just open up slightly. If you see any greenbacks that are not in a wallet, you know you've got the person what did it or what picked up the money.
Okay, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us here, 877-876-7445. Let me get on the line, Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California this evening. Vernon, how are you doing, sir? What can we do for you? It was great having you on the show the other night.
Phil, it was great being on your program. I'm listening to this gentleman from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I was wondering if this gentleman, in his travels and stopping people on the street and saying, you know, I want to look at your purse, if you wanted to find something to do that actually benefited people.
Well, sir, I think what I do, sir, does benefit people.
Well, I wanted to ask you if you've been in the Glendale area or you have been anywhere in the Burbank-Glendale area.
Yeah, from time to time, sir.
All right. We have a group of individuals out here who are part of a co-op who believe that farming or growing vegetables, growing fruit, growing anything that a human being might consume can be effectuated. There's a word that you use, sir, not me, you. All right, you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Can be effectuated by using human waste as fertilizer. Have you ever looked into that?
No, sir, I've not looked into that.
We're really not talking about that right now, okay? You know...
Well, hold on. Yes, we are talking about that right now because I just called in and I want to talk about that. You see?
I understand what you're saying, sir, but we're talking about something else. We're talking about the bank robbery.
No, I heard you talking about the bank robbery, and I'm I'm calling this guy who claims to be a cop, asking if he's been in the Burbank, Glendale area and smelled the stink that I smell every day when I get out of bed. And I can smell my neighbor fertilizing fruit trees with human waste. Human waste. Do you know what it smells like?
Well...
Whoa. Can I direct... I'm asking the gentleman.
Yes, me, sir.
Yes.
I know what human waste smells like.
I'm not talking about when you go to the toilet. I mean out there in an area of the world that should be clean and pure, a place that you can go out and take a deep breath. I tell my players, because I'm a coach, take a deep breath. Smell the world. Take in the world. Yeah, see? And you open the lungs that way. But when I go out back, and I've got a friend of mine who's reading Mother Jones.
Well, sir, I can't,
You can't what?
I can't do anything about the man's reading material or anything you're talking about.
I'm not asking you to, but the guy is reading magazines and the Farmer's Almanac and Mother Jones and I don't know what that one that helps you grow marijuana. You know that one, Mr. Henry, used to have the people on. Didn't you?
I don't know the one you're talking about.
But in any event, they're out there and they're fertilizing their fruit trees with human dung. And it stinks. The smell is malodorous. And I'm wondering if you're going to do anything about it, or you want to just go down and play games with a man. God.
Sir, right now, our forces are spread thin.
I'll bet you're spread thin. Yeah.
Our forces are spread thin. And right now, we're down South Central trying to get the bank money back.
Well, you're never going to get the bank money back. That's the L.A. County Sheriff job. Why don't you do something that you can do some good? Get out here to Glendale, take a deep breath right near my house, and then take a look at that hippie that comes out of his house every day to fertilize those trees, and know this. That guy made the stench that is now... I can't even talk to...
All right, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, you take your break. You do that, Mr. Henry. I'll be gone by the time you come back, okay?
No, sir, I'm asking you to hold on. I just need to take a break.
Yeah, okay, sure. Well, sir, I can tell you I've known Mr. Henry for a long time.
We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. This guy's talking about... What is the story, bud?
I don't know if that'd be a very interesting story about how a man goes out and use a human waste.
Yes, that's really great, but we're talking about a bank robbery, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that guy's saying, instead of the bank robbery, you come up here and try to find out what that hippie is throwing all that dirty, like a dirty hippie do.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Oh, that's basically it. Thanks for describing that. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Gentleman on the phone, Mr. Sheru, you can join us here. Sir, you live in Glendale?
I live in Glendale, right.
And do you live next to Mr. You understand you live next to Mr. Dozier?
Well, that's my understanding, because he's the gentleman that has caused this problem.
You're Mr. Sheru, right?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm the man that you were trying to incite yesterday morning.
I don't believe that I was trying to incite you, sir.
You were trying to incite me. You were applauding or playing some kind of applause from your house as we were using our night soil.
How was that trying to incite you?
Because that was mocking what my wife and I, with the efforts that we were making. And the applause grew louder as my wife and my daughter spread the night soil closer to your house.
Sir, I assumed that whatever was making that stench was created by your wife and daughter, and I don't mean anything by that.
You don't mean anything by that at all, but you, nonetheless, you recognize how insulting that is.
When your wife and daughter came and began spreading that dung near my window, my bedroom window, and I can't describe it.
Mr. Henry, the host of the program?
Yes, sir.
Here is how this all began when we had purchased these fruit trees from Yardley's, which is a nursery that was going out of business here in Glendale, and we purchased a half a dozen of these. They were apple trees, and I think there were some Santa Rosa plum tree. And we purchased these trees, we planted these trees, and we are, yes, avid readers of organic gardening and also biogardening. And the jury's out on the use of human waste matter for fertilizer. It's been tried in Oregon by the forestry department there. My understanding is they've had mixed results. And I don't understand the aesthetic of smell, fertilizer smells.
Fertilizer smells, sir, but human waste is a stink all its own, all right? And
what does that mean, a stink all its own?
I got to look at you. The problem here, Mr. Henry, is this. When I smell it, I can see the people that created it, and it angers me. And
Well, that's a psychological problem that you have, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were a doctor. Are you a doctor of psychology?
No, I am not. You know very well that I'm a... You know very, very well that I'm...
Go ahead, say it.
I don't want to say it.
Then I'll say it. This guy, Mr. Henry, is a... he's a guy that repairs lottery machines for the state of California, for want of a better way of
That's very, you know, I didn't feel like saying that.
Because it doesn't sound very hippie, does it?
No, you know, I'm quite done with this conversation.
Are you done with the conversation?
Done with the conversation, thank you, sir. And I'm sorry, but I doubt seriously that if I came into your home and walked into your bathroom after you used it, that it would smell any better than my fruit trees do.
It's your fruit trees that stink, sir. It's the, you know, it's what you're using to fertilize them. That's the thing that bothers me.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right, let me get Jay Santos. You back, Jay?
I've never gone anywhere, Mr. Henry. I've been here. I've been waiting patiently to say what I want to say.
All right, well, what do you got to say?
Hey, who do you think you are, Henry? What do I got to say? You're not the host of this show.
I am I'm your host.
What do you mean you're my host?
You got a host now, and I'm him. Okay, I'm running this show. Now, I know Mr. Henry's running the show.
Yeah, that's right, I'm running the show. I don't know what you mean you're running the show.
As far as this guy goes, I said I'm the host, that's all.
No, I'm the host. I'm the host, and you got your question answered. You even got on the line there with your neighbor. Thank you very much, and we don't need any more out of you. And
So what you're saying is I've got a problem, and I'm a caller to a talk radio program, and I've got a problem where community problems are worked out, but I'm not allowed to say nothing. I'm not allowed to say nothing because you're bored and you're all done with it.
All right, thank you very much. 877-876-7445, Jay Santos back with us. I believe that Mr. Fine is gone, and we've just lost the Jay Santos line, so we're doing real good.
Yeah, I'll get him back if you want me to. I thought they were all done with the segment on account of the time of thing.
Say that again.
I said I'd get him back. You want to get that time.
Yeah, I'm fine with the thing.
What are you guys talking about, man? Take the gum out of your mouth.
It's good, man.
I don't care if it's that watermelon-flavored... What is that crap?
Juicy-licious.
Juicy-licious. What did you say?
I said that I thought you was done with the segment and there's no more time to do it.
I'll be the guy that tells you that. You understand? Don't be hanging up on people until I say you hang up on them and not a minute before. If I want to hang up on Mr. Santos, I will hang up on Mr. Santos, and it's not going to be... Now, what's that?
Colonel Jay Santos back here.
Okay, listen, did I ask you to come back? Did I ask you to bring him back?
Well, I can't. I call back.
Yeah, just put him on the line. You're yelling at me.
I was saying something to you. All right, Jay, look. The final comment is yours, but as a way of something for you to think about, you know, that guy, notwithstanding the fruit tree thing... How much money have you collected from this bank robbery?
Well, how much we have collected is not something that I want to really go into. It is something that we want to sort of keep close to the vest. But we have collected a substantial amount.
Well, four figures, five figures?
Well, it's not four figures, no. It was three figures. It's a low three figures. And
what...
I can tell you, but it was something we wanted to keep.
Go ahead.
$57. $57.
I thought you said low three figures.
Yes, sir.
5-7, that's two figures.
Well, there was change.
All right, thanks a lot, man. You know.
Oh, okay, man. $57.03, okay?
That's four figures, according to you.
Oh, is it? Okay. God, Phil, you know, calm down, man, because when you start getting excited, you start sounding like a woman. Yeah.
Well, all right, Jay, I wish I sounded more like you, a guy who is almost swallowing his tongue every time he talks.
Yeah, that's dirty pool.
Anyway, so it's he collected it in the low three figures, $57.03. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
That's how much we get paid around here.
Turn that down, too, and the air. Hey, welcome back, folks, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. And we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Couple of things, couple of bits of information for you. Number one, our podcasts resume tomorrow. I think it's episode 42 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast. That is at our website. Go to the homepage and hit free podcast. There it is. It's a beautiful thing. Number two, we will draw the winner of our one free year of backstage pass access next week. So some lucky person who has hashtag BSP and has also liked our fan page at Facebook, then you may be drawn and be the winner of our BSP. Also, get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com and have access to over 4,500 hours of great radio. Fantastic radio. Radio that is so good. We've got people that are, it's kind of like America. Our radio show is like the America of radio shows. People are crawling under ditches, swimming across the river, trying to get into the country of Phil. Even though we've put up border, we've had to put up border guards.
Yeah, we have too, man.
Yeah, you've had to take a shot at a few.
We have. We've had to take a shot at people. We've had to all kinds of stuff. They're crawling. They're scraping. They're trying their very best to get in, and only a select group are admitted as backstage pass members. So hopefully you. No, I'm just kidding about that. But it is a very It's definitely a place that is unique, and not all, let's put it this way, not everybody is welcome. Some people are just, what?
Some people are too lame.
Some people are too freaking lame to be a part of our Backstage Pass family. Thank you.
Yay!
Anyway, thank you, bud. So anyway, there's that, and one other thing that I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, the Milwaukee Lions, we're now going to feature a free podcast of Lion Archive games every now and again. Probably one a week during the football season, but we will now have a free Milwaukee Lion podcast, as well as all of the content of the Milwaukee Lions that is on our website right now. So it's all there for you at philhendryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass. All right, 877-876-7445 and online at philhendryshow.com. And let's see, we got a phone call to go to. Warren is on the line with us. Warren, how have you been? Warren Benman, how's it going, buddy?
Phil, it's good. I mean, when you were saying some things I wanted to take exception, to.
What did I say?
If you said that, boy, it melts like a bad ass. You know?
I never used that word, no.
I thought I told him to say that.
Florida smells like bad ass. What is that?
I heard you say during the breakup on it. You say that?
On Phil TV?
Yeah, I'm back this time. I got BSP.
You got a BSP? You're watching Phil TV?
Yeah.
I said, here's what I said.
No, don't you get out, because you don't see.
Where do you live? You live in Clearwater, right?
I live in Clearwater, Florida, yeah.
Okay. Warren, what I said was, some guy made a comment in the story about California, L.A. smelling from the Salton Sea, and he said, wow, it must be the Mexicans, something like that. You know, typically stupid thing. And the guy said something about cooking meth. I said, dude, you live in Florida, man. How could anybody that lives in that state start bad-mouthing another state's smell?
Well, I just didn't think about Florida when you think then, when you think about Arizona.
I haven't smelt Arizona.
Arizona stinks like an open sewer. It stinks like open grave.
Arizona stinks like an open grave.
Oh, yeah. Because Arizona is just as bad as Florida.
Arizona, what do you mean Arizona is as bad as Florida? Why?
Because because it didn't make losers live there and think, well, the loser per capita, do you say that?
I didn't say the losers per capita, no. I didn't say there was as many losers per capita in Arizona as there are in Florida. I might have said something else disparaging about Florida having to do with their politics.
No, yeah, I don't think it isn't. When you are insane, okay,
what is wrong with you, man?
What?
You sound... What is going on with you?
I told you, I fell off a tower.
Don't you remember when they called in and said I fell off a tower?
Yeah, that's the guy that hit every girder on the way down. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I used to work maintenance on the radio tower in Florida.
Yeah, you work maintenance on the radio towers in Florida, and you fell off of one.
That's correct, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, now I remember the story. And you hit every girder on the way down.
Pretty much.
All right, Warren, I'm sorry, man. You're in a lot of ways, you're like our very good friend Bud here. You've suffered physical injury, but you're mentally...
Well, I'm fine, okay? But the thing...
I don't know. What happened to you, man? Can you tell me?
What happened to me? I fell off the radio tower and hit every girder on the way down. Don't you hear too good?
Yeah, don't you hear too good?
I hear fine, man, but when you say you hit every girder on the way down, was it brain damage?
Oh, bingo, get the man a cigar and a light, too.
Okay,
give the man a cigar and a light, too.
I understand what he said. All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Warren. All right, so the comment that I made about Florida, I think, is accurate. I'm not taking it back.
Well, I think you're concerned of a lot of people or family here. I'm not being concerned about you, man.
Yeah, he's getting upset.
I can hear him getting upset. What are you getting upset about? I worked in Florida. Hold on for just a minute, Warren, okay?
Oh, I know, but when you think you worked in construction...
Wait. I moved to Florida as a 19-year-old kid, and I went into the construction business, and that means you're getting up really early every morning, and I was on my way every morning through the early morning mist and dew and fog of Orlando, Florida, and it smelled like a toilet. I'm telling you right now. And the people used to say, oh, that's the swamp, and it's decaying. And, you know...
Don't, that's beautiful. That's dangerous, isn't
it? Now, well, it wasn't the swamp. It was all the septic tanks. Place smelled like someone's rear end, man. Same thing when I lived in Miami. No difference. I mean, there's nothing against Miami and nothing against Orlando or anything else, but don't give me the stuff about how, you know, stuff smells. If you live in Florida, don't start talking about how rancid somebody else's state. And that's one of the problems that Floridians have. A lot of the problems that the people in Florida have, people in Florida start sounding off about things, and they don't stop and take a look around where they live, you know?
Well, what's wrong with Florida, man? God, you live in California, people out there butchering your life. God, you haven't done it in a state.
Well, it's people in Florida that will eat your face.
So, okay, one time. Not like I have it every day. But the other thing, what's the thing about Arizona anyway?
What's Arizona got to do with it?
You're banging on them.
So I was banging on them. So I said that Arizona's like, you know, the Florida west of the Mississippi, whatever.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So what is outrageous about that?
Well, why don't you go banging on them? You can banging on me.
I'm not banging on you. You're taking this real personal, man. That's your problem. You know?
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. Can't you say that? Can't you say that?
What?
You can't say that.
What's he saying?
I don't know. I can't. What? Hey, Warren, it's Bud. What are you saying?
I said, what are you saying? But the key?
Yeah. What's going on, man?
I can't keep my nose.
He's got a nasal thing. He can't get past one. There's a consonant he can't do because of the nasal.
A consonant he can't do because of the nasal?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay to you, Mr. Henry. Okay? Are you there, Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Just tell me. One thing to you, and you think of this cold.
You can't get past that one consonant.
What consonant?
I can't say the letter
K. Is that what he's trying to say?
Yeah, he can't say K.
Oh, horse dung. What do you mean you can't say K? I've been listening to you say K. What's your sister's name?
My sister's name is K.
Okay, then why can't you pretend it's your sister?
Why, you dirty, filthy bastard.
I'm not saying your sister smells like a toilet. I'm saying that if you can't say the letter K, then why don't you just think of your sister's name, Kay, so you can at least get the letter out?
Yeah, that's all he's saying, Warren. You can talk about your sister smelling like a Florida toilet.
Yeah, man, if anybody said my sister smelled like a Florida toilet.
That's an old thing down here when you say the man's sister smells like a Florida toilet.
He said it's an old saying, you know.
I heard him. It's an old saying down here. Your sister smells like a Florida toilet. Bull crap.
I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you too much, Randy. I wouldn't like golf game. Your golf game.
What about my golf game?
That's a way that a lot of times they have in Florida of putting people down.
Oh, will you come on and start speaking the English language? I got a better idea. How about talking like you come from the planet Earth, okay?
No, okay, great. Thanks a lot for naming, Jimmy. That's not even fair.
Oh, you talk like a guy from Mars or something. I'm telling you right now that I meant nothing other than what I said. Florida is a beautiful place. I have a great many friends there, and I love them dearly, and I miss it. But I cannot let that comment go by. Some guy bagging on how California smells. Florida, the right time of day, man, and it would knock a buzzard right off the back end of a garbage truck.
You'll be knowing when you stand up.
Oh, threatening me, huh?
No, well, come down here. I hope the face zombie goes and gets you.
He just said he hopes the face zombie gets you.
Well, the face zombie ain't going to get me because he's dead, man. He's dead.
When he's a zombie, he's going to finally come back. When he's going to survive. Ta.
Think of your sister. Okay, never mind. Thank you very much.
No, I almost got it.
Gee, he almost spoke English there at the end.
Yeah, I heard that.
Warren Benman, who is a longtime fan of our show and fell off a broadcasting tower. He used to do the job of crawling up those things. And I don't know if you've ever seen it done. I have, and it will absolutely, if you have a fear of heights, it will absolutely give you vertigo, and you'll break out in a cold sweat even though you're standing on terra firma. There are guys that will climb up those big, tall broadcast towers and will clean, do maintenance on those big red beacons that are, by law, supposed to be on those towers. And those red beacons are there for aircraft, especially, obviously, at night. Aircraft, there was a time an aircraft would run afoul of those things and run into those. So they, by law, federal law, you have to have red lights on those. Any structure like that, buildings, anything. Warren would crawl up these things.
Yeah, he fell off.
And he fell off one day. And he just bounced, just bang, 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 all the way down, huh?
Yeah.
And he got out of the hospital, I don't know, 6-8 months later or something, and he's fine, but he talks like that. And that whole thing about how he can't say the letter K, his sister's name is K. They call her K, Kathy or Catherine, right?
Yeah.
So what is, I don't understand.
Well, if he can't say the letter K, like if he's going to say no.
If he was going to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, any other way of saying K.
Wait a minute, man. He can't say K because it's like, kah, kah, right?
Yeah.
But, so does that mean he can't say no?
Well, what does that mean, he can't say no?
You know what I mean, man. He can't say the word K-N-O-W?
No, he can't.
Oh, that's too weird for words. I can't.
But I don't understand.
Never mind. We'll be right back. It's the Phil Henry Show here. Got our news and information hour coming. That's beautiful. News and Information Hour coming up, and don't forget, tomorrow is episode 42. I think it's 42. Would you look it up, bud?
Yeah, I'll look it up, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Episode 42 of the free Phil Henry podcast.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Wait. I can say no, and oh, I can't say the other one.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, it's a wild thing, man. When you look at the stuff that people are afraid of, you know,
some people are afraid of some stuff, and they're not afraid of another stuff.
It's exactly. People that have no fear of heights, I have the greatest of admiration for. In fact, my son Alex, who works for me, and many of you know him if you're a backstage passer, Alex went skydiving the other day.
Did he go with a guy or something?
Yeah, he went with an instructor, right?
I think he did. But he went with his brother, Nick, and their buddies, and they went up here to Lompoc. And he was telling me about it today because we had a meeting and then we were driving back from lunch. And I said, what was that like? He said, first of all, when I went out, that he said, I was nervous, man. I said, I got a fear of heights. He goes, well, I sort of do too. And right there, I thought, well, man, you're a better man than me. You got a fear of heights and you went ahead and did this. And it was probably kind of a cool, you know, how some people will do the very thing that they're afraid of to break the fear.
Yeah, that's what they said about G. Gordon Liddy on eating a rat.
He what?
G. Gordon Liddy ate a rat like that.
Yeah, G. Gordon Liddy ate supposedly G. Gordon Liddy ate a rat as a kid to break himself of the fear of rats.
Get out of here!
That's what he claims. That's what he claims. That's what he claims in his book. G. Gordon Liddy, many of you know him as a talk show host, but G. Gordon Liddy was also a member of the plumbers unit that had been put together by the Nixon White House, an illegal unit engaged in illegal activity. But nonetheless, a group of people that worked for the executive. And G. Gordon Liddy, before that, if I'm not mistaken, had been a member, had been in the employ of the CIA. And before that, had been a member of the U.S. military. So he was a tough dude. But a little on the wiggy side, man.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit on the wigged out side for a cat to eat a rat. But I'll tell you what. If he did that as a kid, I don't know if that's normal for a kid. I, you know.
Well, you figure, man, like, he's doing a talk show and everything.
That don't necessarily mean he's sane. He's doing a talk show. Get him.
Yeah, but see, I mean, he could still be crazy. I mean, he's smart, you know.
What are you saying, man?
I'm saying I'm trying to agree with you.
Then I'll do it. I'm saying he's doing a talk show. Yeah, I know he's sane, but he's weird.
Are you saying he does a bad talk show? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I agree with that. He's a nice guy, I'm sure. I've never met the man. I think I almost did meet him in New York when we were doing a talk radio panel. I almost met him, but his show sucks. But that doesn't matter in radio. All right. So who do we have here now?
Well, we're gonna get that guy on the line.
Oh, I don't know if this is Jerry Gray or not. This is a gentleman that we know who works in the entertainment business. I was talking about my son skydiving, Jerry.
I know, I heard that, and I can't do that either. I tried. I went up to Lake Elsinore, which is, your son went to Lompoc.
Yeah.
Lake Elsinore has the skydiving classes. They also have the aircraft where you can solo if you want. You can also go up with a teacher if you want. And I tried solo. Actually, I tried going off with a teacher at the 8,000-foot level. They have 8,000, 10,000, and 12, and then 18,000. And I can still remember screaming as I went out the window at the door.
You screamed?
Oh, yes, because as soon as I went out the open hatch there on the side of this very light aircraft that they have you in, I began to scream. And I didn't stop screaming until they had... literally brought me out of it. I was screaming after I'd hit the ground, and I'd gone into a...
He went into a fecal position.
Not a fecal position. You mean a fetal?
In a fetal position. Who is that?
Bud.
Can I not talk with him or have him anywhere near this conversation, if you don't mind?
Bud, just keep quiet, okay?
Yeah.
Could I not talk with him or have him anywhere near this conversation, if you don't mind?
All right.
Yeah, Bud, just shut up. So go ahead, Tony.
All right, so did you call me Tony?
I'm sorry, I was just thinking of Tony. Jerry, I'm sorry.
Why did you call me Tony?
I was thinking of and talking about Tony Scott before we got under the...
You know what? I thought that's what you were thinking of, because I was thinking of him, too.
It just... You know why? Because of the way he died. He was going up that cable.
He went up that cable the same way they do maintenance on the Golden Gate Bridge, and people that saw him said that he went up that cable with a determination and with a presence of mind. They thought he was actually working on some sort of a maintenance crew, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this, Phil. I jumped out of that airplane, and I screamed. I hit the ground. I rolled into a fetal position and kept screaming until someone came along And I think that when someone is having this hysteria, the best thing to do is to try to bring them out of it. But when someone came along with a bucket, and it wasn't full of water, it didn't have ice, it was the bucket, and they had hoped there was water in it, but they wound up hitting me with a bucket, with an empty bucket. They hit me, and it brought on just a very light concussion. So I was in the hospital for the next 3 hours with that. That did stop the screaming, but then they had to begin to administer antidepressants as well as antipsychotics because they were afraid that the injury, the concussion, because I was apparently now not screaming, but I was talking incessantly, almost like Dutch Schultz's last words, you know.
Boy, this is a hell of a story. You jumped out of an airplane.
That's exactly right.
Probably the last thing you should have done.
Well, I'm thinking of doing it again.
Why would you do that again, man, when you jump out and you screamed all the way down, you screamed after you hit the ground, you kept on screaming while you rolled into a fetal position, you stopped screaming when they hit you with a bucket, but now you've got a concussion and now you're babbling like Dutch Schultz?
Well, it's a memorable experience. Obviously, I'm not trying to be funny.
It sounds to me like that is not a good experience for you at all. It sounds to me like it brings on some kind of a psychosis.
Well, let's not get dramatic, Phil. You're not a doctor, and I'm not Joanne Woodward in the Three Faces of Eve. I jumped out of an airplane,
Phil,
you ass.